Hi, my name is Miles Sanchez.
Margaret.
Emman De La Cruz.
And you're listening to Thanks, It's My Lolas. So tonight we have a special guest. You just heard his name. His name is Emman De La Cruz. And he's a director and I think producer also, right?
Yes.
Of the award-winning film with award-winning actors.
actresses,
which is called
Sarumbangi.
Yes. So right now we're in a coffee shop and we're waiting actually for Emman to go on stage and receive an award. It's a People's Choice Award for Best...
The Independent Cinema Award.
Rocking the Independent Cinema Award. So how contemporary could you get?
Yes.
But anyway, we're just spending our time and waiting for him to go on stage and we'll cheer him on and do shit like that because that's what great artists' friends do.
Yes,
so,
thank you.
Emman De La Cruz being the great artist,
award-winning
filmmaker.
And writer,
of course. And we'd like to know more about the film, Sarumbangi. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, Sarumbangi is a Filipino word.
It's a lullaby.
Okay.
It's a native Bicolano song composed by this great artist, Potenciano Gregorio back in the, I think, 20s or 30s.
Oh, wow, okay.
It became like the anthem of this whole region in the Philippines by the Bicolanos. And they're very proud of this song. And even if they leave the country, they bring this song with them.
Okay.
So, of course, when I brought this movie back into the Bicol region for the first time 2 days ago, we went to Naga.
Wow.
Because we showed it through the Cinemalaya tour. It's the first leg of the tour.
Okay.
One of the students of Ateneo de Naga said he was apprehensive when he found out in the papers in Manila that I was doing a film on a Bicolano song and I wasn't even Bicolano.
Oh, okay.
So he was ready to attack me when he went to the premiere.
Yeah, they can get like that because I'm Bisaya myself and Bisaya, that I'm really jealous about that. You know, this tribalist attitude of Filipinos, you know,
they tend to be really
defensive about their roots and their beginnings.
Of course, you can imagine how I felt when I knew that this film is kind of sensitive in its subject matter. So.
Right.
But after the screening, they embraced the film, so
I was really moved.
Did you have to pay for the rights?
No, it's a public domain already. We check with the local music.
So Sarumbangi is a Bicolano word. What
it
does
means
it basically
one
mean?
One night.
One night. Oh.
So.
I thought Sarumbangi was
a lullaby.
It doubles as a love song, and I use it more like a lullaby. But the thing is, when I talk to the locals, we were hosted by this arts council called the Diba in Naga, and they said even up to now, the parents would sing it as a lullaby to their children.
Oh wow!
So that's how attached they are to it.
And you gave it a different twist. One night,
yes,
being the general theme of your movie.
Yeah, it happens in one night. It's a first time encounter between this teenage boy and an aging prostitute. So we follow them from that night through the morning.
Did you hear the song and then decide to write the story?
Not really.
Or you were writing the movie and then suddenly thought of putting Sarumbangi?
Serendipitous siguro. But I was, I had the idea 4 years ago, and it was after watching this great film called Being John Malkovich that I wanted to do. I was so moved by that film.
Okay.
It's
so
not,
far from
it's
your
not
movie.
The same movie.
Very far
but what really moved me about Malkovich was this filmmaker's strength in telling a story and really bringing you where you never thought it'd bring you.
Yeah.
So inspired you.
So I wanted to finally make this film about this prostitute who I will follow on the last day she sells her body. So it's
because
like,
she's retiring. Sorry.
Yeah, but she doesn't know that. But when we follow her, that's what happens. And of course, we know why that happens because she finds out something. Right.
Spoiler,
anyway,
spoiler.
So when I spoiler, so when I had that in my mind. So when we finally had to decide to make a storyline for the first Cinemalaya in 2005, and we were part of a group called UFO Pictures, which are five of us from the mainstream industry were writers, but who wants to make our own film. So that's the closest I had to write because it was already fully formed. But the thing is, when I was writing it already, I couldn't get past the revelation scene in the film. And it would have been just a one-night stand story if I wasn't able to think of a non-linear way of telling the story.
Right.
So So when I wrote the story, it was written around this character who was in my mind already, Jacqueline Jose.
Wow.
Because she was like this, you know, this iconistic, you know,
of course,
idea of this fallen woman. So she, I had her in mind, and she's a great actor. She's also a very strong like supporter of the independent scene since she started.
Yes,
she started that way.
Uh-huh.
So when I wrote it, I wrote Jacqueline as her name.
Oh,
and
wow.
And my producer said that must have been the reason why I clinched the project, the grant, because he said nobody can beat the film in the mind of the judges when they were reading it as Jacqueline, because they knew how good she was, right?
Right, right.
So,
right.
Oh, okay, that doesn't answer the question, but
I completely forgot about the question. What was the question?
The question was, why is it Sarumbangi?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So first it was called One Night. Then when I thought this character has to come from Bicol, and that's where it becomes
because
because like the Bicolanos, they would actually say our bad rep is that our men become priests and our women become sex workers.
I never knew about that.
Yeah, and it's a very touchy subject, but I still chose that because for me, Bicol is an ideal. Bicol is the past. This woman's past is really the idyllic past. So I wrote Bicol in her mind.
Wow.
So when it came into writing it out, I said, one night. Oh, really? It's really one night in a song, in a film. So that's how it happened.
These are things that actually you get to see or to watch on DVD, like uncut versions or like special add-ons for DVDs when you're able to talk to the directors or the filmmakers themselves.
Because,
you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have even noticed the depth. Like, I know the depth of the film, right?
Yes.
But then I wouldn't have known how you were able to get all these inspirations and you were able to get all these...
special features.
Yeah, special features. Exactly. But I wouldn't be able to know like where you got all these things from. Unless, of course,
I feel the same way because I believe that the filmmaker is a work in progress. He cannot say he's fully original.
Sure.
So he has to talk about his influences and even how an idea evolves.
Yeah. And you're never, when you watch the movie, you don't really you're not really able to talk to the director, and the director is not really able to justify, you know, the things that he puts in the movie. We just take it as it is.
Yeah.
But now that I'm talking to
you, it
makes things a lot better. It gives it a bigger dimension, I guess, as a consumer.
Plus the director gets credited with a lot of good things that the other artists put in.
Right, it's always
like, oh, the director thought of
that.
But it could have been just like the cinematographer or even somebody.
The gaffer.
The friend of the gaffer.
What is a gaffer again?
Somebody helps with the lights.
Okay.
Yeah, see, which I'm really proud of. I mean, I'm proud of the artists who also brought in their music, Jesse Lesotin, Miguel Fabi's photography at that budget, and my designer Lena Kubambang, which is a emerging artist. I think she got the 13 Artist Award already, so she's big. Yeah.
Wow.
And of course Jaime Davila, who's returning to editing in this film. He already won an Orion for The Haas.
Wow.
He was the editor of Chitoronio. I work with the best people. Maybe that's how you do a good
you
film.
Surround yourself with really good
exactly.
people.
Yeah, that's what my friends also tell me. Like Jeff also tells me a lot. Part of it is because you're able to assemble the right group.
Yeah.
Instead of like casting, but not casting, casting the staff, I guess. If you're able to cast the best people, then you're apt to make the best film. Did you ever make a film before you did sort of
a lot of short films?
Okay.
But as,
this is your
as
first
a film student, this is my first full length.
But can you talk about your background a bit? You still write for TV, right?
Not really. Since we formed UFO Pictures, I've been focusing on that. And also, I returned to school. I've yet to finish my under degree.
Wow!
And
you're already an award.
I can't even use that, so I have to make a short film. Hopefully,
you can't take special
March
credits
here.
For it.
No,
special credit for winning an award.
Yes, it was my interesting story about getting into film was that I didn't know I was meant for it till later. It's like I started as a painter.
And then you were also a theater person. Yeah,
but that was before even. So I was starting painting. Then I got to be with Bulwagang Gantimpala in summer workshop, and I was interested in acting. But at the end of that season, I was writing the musical play on that piece. So from from painting, I went to acting, then I end up writing. Then I thought, well, maybe I should pursue writing, so I went to UP with creative writing in mind. But when I was in that course already, I shifted to film.
Because?
Just because, I don't know, I wasn't that interested in it anymore, or it was too limiting for me. Because I was already expanding, because I had theater also,
yes,
I had
yes.
photography,
yes.
and I also took poetry. Yeah. So what happened was,
the next step.
Yeah, as it turned out, it was like that. But when I was like studying my history, I remembered, I stumbled on the fact that I grew up in a small province which had three theaters. My family, my parents were the managers of the local PNR station.
What's a PNR?
The bus
station.
Oh,
okay.
And we bring film reels from Manila through that bus.
Wow.
So I remember sitting on top of this reel.
May mga hints of
Cinema Paradiso. Exactly. But I didn't remember.
It always goes back to that film.
I didn't remember that.
It always does.
It was only later when I thought, oh my god, I. Sorry.
That's right.
I fucking saw.
No, it's okay. We're
a classic. Oro Plata Mata when it was first shown on film, and I didn't remember it was that film until I saw it in film school, and I said,
I grew up on these.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, it's that scene, the scene with the fire,
uh-huh.
the scene with the Exodus,
mm-hmm.
with the burning fields. Wait, I have to tell you that
sure,
the reason why I became a painter, I wanted to become a painter, was that my mother was a school teacher and she had a crafts class. And when she was doing the crafts thing at home, I thought she was a painter. I thought my mother was a painter. And it was only later when I told her, you are not even a painter!
You cheated!
You cheated me! Now it's too late!
Yeah.
I'm already in this!
Yeah.
So it's like, wait. Oh.
That's a good title for a film. I thought my mother was a painter.
Yeah, I'll know the battle.
After Shining Silver Man, what is that?
By Emma De La Cruz.
Oh my god. People are calling already.
Oh, okay. You want to do this a little bit later?
Yeah, maybe we should.
Okay, we'll take a short break and we'll play you an independent music by Ria Munoz.
Maybe we should play Or also try playing Sarong Banggi for them. So they'll get an idea since it's
Sarumbanggi
public domain.
Yeah, we'll play you Sarumbanggi for the people who don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And then after that, we'll come back with come back with the interview with Emma De La Cruz. They are asking him to go backstage and receive his award already. We'll be right
my
back.
My gosh.
Lolas and
just
a couple of minutes ago he went up on stage and received his award, which is actually called the I Am Super and I Rock the World of Indie Filming to the Extreme Award.
To the extreme.
award, but it's actually pretty cool. It was really nice. It was exhilarating for us as your friends. I couldn't imagine what it was for you. What it was like for you.
I can't get over from kissing Casey Concepcion.
So anyway, back to Sarumbanggi. What you just heard is a Sarumbanggi, the song, and it's a lullaby but apparently it's it also means one night, which is basically...
It's a beautiful song. When I first really studied the song, it reminded me so much of Moon River. Because when you listen to Moon River, it's not the summation of all the words. It's a different, you know, it's like there's a cosmic level to it. And this song also has that. It describes how this person, probably a guy, the persona of the composer, who's trying to sleep when he hears the beautiful, lonely song of a bird. And he thought it was his beloved. So it just goes from that idea of the ephemeral presence of this beloved, which really hooked me when I studied a different, there are really different versions of the song because it evolved from one province to another.
Sure, yeah.
So when I read one part, it says, because of that one night when I saw your face, it's like it changed his life. Yeah, so it's also what my film was about. It's really that one night that can change your life forever.
Yeah.
So yeah. I felt really, you know, like, I had goosebumps just reading that.
Just listening to you right now. yeah, you were saying.
Of course, the first statement was, "He forgave me." He forgave me. It's a big sin. big sin, diba? So parang tong this boy, yeah. He says he was. Of course, he asked me if it's biographical.
Sure.
But of course, it can't be. So, but he was saying,
"You wish." Right?
He actually said, "It's like my first time experience." Maybe what he's saying is, what this boy experienced in the film is so much like what every boy undergoes, to peer pressure and also, you know, actually connecting to this person who's just, somebody who sells her body for a living, right? So. But that's how I twist this piece, because I didn't want it to be about sex, you know. It was more of a coming of age kind of story, so it's really about connecting with this person.
So Sarumbagi is a what, 2-year-old film? It's a 2-year-old film, and it's going to be shown in commercial theaters on Wednesday, September 6th.
Yes.
And for the Filipino listeners, it's going to be, and for those who are going to visit the Philippines, you're going to, yeah, fat chance, right?
We're playing in Cebu and Davao, so yeah. Maybe there is.
So you're playing for how long?
For a week, 6
for a week
to 12.
SM Cinemas.
Yeah, 12 of them.
So, 12 SM Cinemas, so
yes.
Over the universe.
Yes.
Yeah. SMs are going to take over the universe. By the way,
yeah, that's true.
But they're showing all SM Cinemas, and they're showing for a week, starting September 6th. Tell me, Eman, it was a challenge for you to, gain that momentum in order to be able to show your film in a commercial cinema, because your film is truly independent. It truly has very sensitive themes. How were you able to go about that?
If you're an independent film, you either choose to get a distributor or a booker. Which helps, because the big factor will be they will give you commercial spots on television and, you know, ads on the paper, which you barely can afford after you make your film.
Right,
probably
right.
You've spent all your life savings already.
Have you?
Booker would be Star Unitel. Cinema, for example, or Unitel. They usually get a 5% cut from the gross of the film, which is not really big if you look at what they'll give you.
Sure.
In this case, if it's ABS-CBN, they'll give you 2 million worth of
yes. Edit.
See, edit. No. You can't even say that.
Worth of
free television spots.
Okay.
You know,
that's
they
a lot of money.
They didn't
that's
even
spot.
Get
and then
that back.
Yeah. There's for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't even get that back. You know, that work that much.
So, okay, listeners, so, independent filmmakers, this is very instructional.
Yes, it is.
Take note. Yeah.
So this is A,
plan A. Plan B will be, of course, aside from a booker, you can also get a distributor. A distributor will get a 30% cut. But
then what will he do for you?
Actually, well, he'll book it, but also he'll supposedly put advertisements also. That's the basic difference. It just that happened that with ABS-CBN, they were the bookers, but they basically distributed the film.
They were,
while getting like a booker's
fee. They were
fee.
Really very generous about
is it. Because you're from ABS?
Yes, it's because we have connections with them and we
so
came from
that
them.
That will not necessarily happen.
Apply
to,
all to everybody. Unless, of
only,
course.
Unless, of course, you're Eman de la Cruz.
No, unless, of course. Oh, I didn't even get that for this film. No, they have to see that the film is going to make not just money, but in terms of, you know, because they're protecting what do you call this? A brand, right?
Okay,
so,
yes, of course.
So I guess it was very good for a good move for them because Maximus is the kind of film that was embraced by their audiences. So
right, right.
It's not too far out, yeah. You know. My film would be in the category of, you know, like a niche kind of film.
Yes,
so
yes.
In our case, we end up self-distributing the film. So that's the hardest.
Was it really hard?
That's yeah. The hardest thing to do.
It's all out there, right?
It's nothing compared to making the film.
You're kidding.
Yeah, yeah, because you don't know anything about selling the film. Come on, we're filmmakers. But of course you try to learn. So
like what did you do? Did you just call up SM Cinema?
Yeah. It was kind of like that, but I have to tell the whole story. The whole story is that when Eric Matty saw these two films, Pagdadalaga, ni Maximo Olivares and Sarumbanggi in the last festival, he was flabbergasted. He said,
"Why that?"
Yeah, he said, "Oh, yeah, exactly." We were shocked because the following day was the cinema forum, and he was part of the panel. And he said, "Hey, those two guys up there in the arena theater, that balcony." He was saying, "Hey, to Eman and Raymond, don't give your film to anybody because I'm distributing it." And the reason was because he said, when I saw these two films, I felt like Salieri. I felt like Salieri looking at this Amadeus making their films. That's how envious he was, because he was then doing the movie called Exodus, and he said, I don't even want to finish it anymore. He said, I should be doing this kind of films.
Wow.
That's how he felt. So so he approached us, and of course it felt
so what
good.
Is he doing now?
Of course, he's back to making this fantasy. Anyway, it got really, when he got really thick.
That's
into...
That's a lot of validation right there. Right?
Of course. Yeah. Yes, yes. That's why we're doing it the way he would have done it.
Okay.
So we got, his ideas were good. So we used some of those ideas. The poster idea was his. So he wanted to capture this first time experience.
The poster is really nice, by the way.
The thing is,
we'll play it up for you guys.
Okay. The basic where we separate is, Eric wants it to end at a certain point in the film to make it a one night stand story, which wouldn't have been the film.
Oh,
so
it's not gonna be the point.
And I would no, in a way, yeah. And I actually agreed to it, if only to have it commercially shown.
Okay.
Because I told him we could always show the director's cut a week later, or some
sure,
of the theaters,
yeah.
Or even on video.
As long as you get that traction.
And I'm very open to that. I said, film is a process. Cinema Paradiso, the version we love, is not the director's cut.
Of course.
So,
right.
But see, after that, of course, we always felt that this is the cut that the audience should see.
Yes.
Not because it's my cut, but because there's really a moving story in it. It's not just one plane of a story.
Yeah. I'm gonna cut this real short. I'm gonna end the show, but we're gonna keep on talking just to make it safe, because we have very little battery left. So that's it for you guys. I hope Eman comes back. Yeah, I hope Eman comes back for another interview.
More films.
Next movie. Yeah. Are you having a project right
yes,
now?
Yes, I have a
lots
current project. The one is an omnibus film called Imaginacion. I'm doing a piece on EDSA. It's actually a reflection on the Filipino identity 20 years after EDSA.
Wow.
So it's going to be a 4-minute film. Yeah, 20 filmmakers, including Love Diaz, Raymond Red, you know, lots of these young filmmakers also. So it's going to be shown, I think, in Italy somewhere there.
Okay, good.
And also I have to mention that the Urian actually changed history by giving a big space for the independent cinema, and actually really will change history.
Won
Best Actress, but also Mes de Guzman Best Actor for Kalimugtong, and Pagdadalaga won several awards. The major awards went to the independent. There was only one film called Blue Moon, which was from the mainstream. So
but I don't think you should be like thankful that they give you a chance. I think it's inevitable.
Yes, yes. What I'm saying is they actually...
I mean, if they're worth their salt, they're going to give it to the best.
Exactly.
Like,
they're
independent or not.
They want to be pioneers because they put them in one category. The other awards still separates the digital from...
Oh, they put a category.
Yes, they're the first one who put it in the same category.
Interesting.
So that's gonna, you know.
Cool. Well, that's it. We have 3 seconds.
Yes. So bye. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Fabulous interview. It's really awesome. Thank you for joining us, Amanda La Cruz. You guys, big name, very very soon, if not already a big name. My name is Miles Sanchez.
Margaret.
Amanda La Cruz.
And you're listening to
Thanks It's My Lawless.